He's either an incredibly brainless, spineless mutt, or he's super patient. You know, always when you present a lesson and you're doing a PowerPoint, you try to, you know, identify and source relevant pictures, if you're going to use pictures. And I thought that this was the most relevant for obvious reasons. So, good morning, everybody. Thank you. I want to thank Carol. Thank you very much for the prayer. I don't know what it is, and then I figured it out by just reading some psychology. Why is it that when you come before people and you speak, you get really nervous? Even to this day, I still do. And then I read about it. And really what it is that it is an exposure. You are really putting yourself out there to, you know, maybe make an utter and complete fool of yourself. But I figure, you know, with my family here at this church, then who better would I want to make a fool of myself in front of than you? So, Carol, thank you very much for that prayer. It is very helpful before one comes up. I want to thank Ted also. You know, I'm up here. I'm like, Ted, here's my thumb drive. Go ahead and plug it in. It's here. It's this. It's that and that. Okay. Got it. You know, and he's just calmly, and at the same time, he's trying to get ready to lead song service. And the computer is doing its thing, it's thinking, and I'm just kind of standing off to the side, you know, trying to be patient. And I can feel myself somewhat, even though this is the topic that I am speaking on, I could feel myself somewhat go there in terms of it kind of being a little impatient. Lateral epicondylitis. How many of you have ever heard of that? Tennis elbow. How many of you have heard of that? Okay, most of you, all of you. They are one and the same. If you didn't know that, you know that now. I don't know if that's useless trivia for you, but you know that now. Lateral epicondylitis. I have it, and I've had it for the last month and a half. And if you've had it, and I know at least one of you in this room has it, Dean, you know what it does. You know what it allows you not to do. And it really is a pain in the elbow, literally. So I've been trying to be really patient in getting that thing healed. And I will tell you that it is challenging because it gets in the way of so much of what I want to do. It is a really good example of what it is that we deal with when it comes to patience. And as you know, from Galatians 5:22, patience or long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And that is what I will be talking about this morning. Better. Patience is a virtue. You've heard that before, right? Patience is a virtue. Patience, long suffering, etc. You know, we've read about it. We've seen it. We've heard about it in God's Word, and we certainly experience it in our life. But what does it actually mean? If I were to ask you right now, if I took a poll, literally with every one of you, and asked you, what does patience mean? Would you be able to define it? Now, I think most of you would probably be able to define it using some kind of an example, like I did, in terms of lateral epicondylitis. It just struck me, I think the last time that I was before you, I also suffered another injury with a laceration to my finger. I don't know if I should be continuing to preach because that might mean that my injury source is going to get more severe. But we do. We often cite examples rather than through definition. So let's define it. Okay? Let's define it. And this isn't an audience participation with the exception of this question. So I need somebody, please, when I ask the question, what is patience, Could somebody just please define that very quickly?
Waiting for something without anxiety.
Okay. Waiting for something without anxiety. Did anybody have anything else?
Tolerance through trial.
Okay. All right. So there's two, and they are somewhat different, right? They're kind of the same, but they're somewhat different. So let's look at that a little bit. Often we hear it as waiting without complaining, right? It's a pretty typical definition. Now, we as Christians, we know that definition to be a little bit different. There's some added components to that. But by and large, if you ask somebody on the street what is the definition of patience, if they can provide to you an actual definition, then it would be waiting without complaining. And that's all fine and good, but what is so virtuous about waiting without complaining? We do it all the time, right? All of us wait for various things. Now, I will tell you that with the tennis elbow, I am waiting. I promise you, I am complaining about it as well, right? There is no not waiting without complaint on this. Mine is about the level at which I complain and to whom I complain and how often I complain. I am flat out admitting that I am incredibly impatient when it comes to this particular injury. But again, that's typically what we hear. So to help with that, I have an illustration. So, first picture is a $1 million bill. You didn't know that there was a $1 million bill? There's actually not. That's made up and fake. But if there was, that's what it would look like. The other one, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a boot on your tire. I have not personally, but I know people who have. And it's not pleasant because that means that you have to do something. It actually means that you did something to get the boot on your tire to begin with. But you then have to do something. And typically that means that you have to stand in line. So in the first scenario, with the $1 million bill, let's say that, Carol, you have a letter in your possession that is official, and it says, you be here at this time on this day in this place, and all you have to do is wait in line for 2 hours, and you will receive legitimately $1 million. Carol goes to the place at the designated time. She stands in line for 2 hours, and at the end of the 2 hours, she receives $1 million. She just waited for 2 hours. I mean, it's great that you got the $1 million, but what is so virtuous about that? Is that really what makes patience virtuous? Is that you simply wait without complaining? I don't think it is. On the other hand, if you come out and you find a boot on your car with a note on your windshield that says you must appear before this court on this date and time to rectify this. Well, you get to that same courtroom and you find there are several other people waiting like you are. And suddenly that first 15 minutes turns into 2 hours. Then 2 hours turns into 4 to 6 hours. Are you going to be waiting without complaining? No, you're going to have a lot of anxiety. You probably will complain. That is what is missing in this sense. So it's a math problem. Something minus something equals patience. What is that? It is discomfort. The component of discomfort, anxiety, troubles, tribulations, that is the component that allows patience to be a virtue. Now, all of us, I am guaranteed, all of us in this room have had an opportunity in their life at some point to wait and be really, really uncomfortable. You all have. We all have. we understand what that means, what it feels like, what it looks like, what it sounds like. We absolutely do know what that means. So here's an illustration, kind of that same illustration of standing in line. The first picture is a group of people who apparently one of them has been standing in line for 17 days. The next picture is somewhat unusual and odd, but it's a group of small children in a hallway in a school standing in line, seemingly not really caring about it. Pretty patient looking, right? That equals patience. Discomfort minus complaint equals patience. So, let's add to our definition just a little bit. It is to endure discomfort without complaint. So let me ask you, can you do that? Are you able to do that? The answer to that question is unequivocally yes. We will explore what that means. So what makes us impatient? I took a poll with a lot of people and wrote down everything that they said. There was a lot of it that was very similar. There was a lot of it that wasn't. And I came up with 10 items that make us impatient. Right? It is the opposite of being patient, but there's some added components to that. So let's explore that. Bad driving. Does bad driving make you impatient? I can guarantee you that your bad driving makes people around you impatient. Annoying and stupid people. Completely subjective, right? I know unequivocally that I fit into that category of annoying and stupid people. But those things make us impatient. Long, slow lines at the airport, security, right? You know what I'm saying. You know, you've had that feeling when you're in the airport and you come around the corner and you see that incredibly long serpentine line that's just there. And you look at your watch and it's like, I'm not going to make it. You know, and so you are waiting in line, really struggling not to lose it. When things don't work, I don't like it when things don't work, right? Especially when you're about ready to give a lesson and you're presenting before people and things don't work. Now, Carl had a little bit of that when he was preaching, but you wouldn't know that it bothered him if it did because he just went on. But when things don't work, that makes us impatient. Traffic, yep, we all know that traffic makes us impatient. Unmet expectations. You would think that I would be impatient all the time 24/7 because I don't like unmet expectations. And I think most of us do not. Lack of common sense, right? If it was common, everybody would have it. We've heard that. We know that it's mostly the stupid and annoying people that don't have it. And so that certainly allows us to be impatient. When people don't do things my way. Sound familiar? I mean, not about me, but about you, right? But when people don't do things my way, right? So over the last couple of years, I've really been fascinated and interested in, you know, woodworking, you know, just here and there. And so when I do something, I took a lot of time and I fail at it miserably and then I do it and do it and do it until it's right. And if there's somebody that's working with me that I want to have help with, and then they start doing the thing that I did that took me forever and a day to perfect or kind of perfect, and I see that they're doing it wrong, they are stupid and annoying. And so taking longer to reach a goal. Again, in my mind, lateral epicondylitis should be done in 2 weeks. I hear that it can last a year or more. And that's with treatment. That's annoying. And it makes me impatient. And then running late. How many of you are running late this morning? There's smiles on a number of people's faces. So I know that you are running late this morning. We all know what that feels like when we run late. It does make us a bit impatient. So why do we become impatient? Again, it's important for us to explore this whole business of patience before we can really understand it from God's Word. We have to understand it for what it means and what it is and how we experience it on a day-to-day basis. So what is it? It's interesting that we are in the study of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the Spirit's fruit is patience. But if you think of it in this term, in these terms, that it is a lack of fruit by we don't have patience. It is the inability or the inconsistent love that we have or don't have. Lack of joy, not being at peace or able to provide it. Not being kind, not possessing a good heart. Lack of faith, little to no self-control or lack of gentleness. Think about it. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit and you start to remove those attributes from your life, then that's going to impact your ability to be patient, clearly. If I don't love you, and we are having a disagreement, then I'm going to be less likely to be patient with you. If I don't have a good heart, I'm going to be less likely to be patient with you. It just makes sense. And it's so ironic that these are all tied together, and I hope that we are seeing that. I hope that we are seeing that they share in and amongst one another, and that if you just look at it singularly, the patience, and that's the only thing that you look at, you cannot have patience without the other fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? You really can't. You can try, but you will probably fail most miserably. So why do we need it? I mean, I know a lot of impatient people, and they pay taxes, they pay their mortgage, they have food. They're annoying and stupid, but they seem to be just fine, even though they're incredibly impatient. So why do we need it? It's because we, in and of ourselves, we want things really fast. Have you noticed that? How many of you have a cell phone? You don't have to raise your hand because I know all of you do. Is there anybody who doesn't have a cell phone? Oh, okay, so there are people who don't have cell phones. So you have taken the ability to become impatient out of your life, at least with a cell phone. Right? We want things right now. Do you remember the rotary telephone dials? Do you remember that? I do. And it took you like 7.5 minutes to call somebody. And then when the radio would have these prize giveaways and stuff, it'd be like, fourth caller. So what would you do? You'd go to the rotary telephone and you put your finger in it, and then you turn it, and then you force it back because you wanted it faster. That's what we've become. We have become a society of, I want now, right now. We just have. And so we are practicing. Did you know that? We are practicing to be impatient. That's why we need patience. Those above the because items are the most important reason why we need patience. It's one thing that you and I get impatient with each other, but it's quite another when we get impatient with God. Does God get impatient with us? Did God get impatient with the people of Israel? Did the people of Israel get impatient with God? I think we know the answer to most of those questions. So patiently, we will explore the following. The work of patience. Ways God has designed patience to work in or on us. Biblical examples of patience. Very important that we see that. It's everywhere in our Bibles. Areas that need lots of patience. How to add patience to your attitude and mine. And then finally, our conclusion. So the work of patience. So my first car was a slow Lincoln. Are you kidding me? It's not my first car, but there's a story. So over time, like you, I have
developed more patience than I did when I was younger. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was a pretty patient young man. I just was. But the reason why I was patient is because I didn't have near as much experience in life as I do now. Near as much opportunity to be impatient as I did then. So I was like, oh, I'm a patient guy. Piece of cake. Oh, yeah. It's taken me a long time to learn how to be patient. But there is fruit that comes with that. So, I am traveling to work. I might have been running a little late. And the road that I was traveling was relegated to one lane. One way. Normally it's two lanes, one way. But today, it was one lane. And it was super slow. Remember, slow traffic equals impatience. Running late equals impatience. But at this particular time in my life, not really a whole lot that I can do about it. Right? It is what it is. But I see up ahead of me the car that is dragging everyone down. Everyone. And I look at my rearview mirror and the line is way back there. And then I hear honking. But the car ahead of me and that car ahead of them, it was this super old Lincoln. Right? And I'm looking up there and the car ahead of me is laying on the horn. You know, there you can see the arm is like this and they're like, you can just tell what they're thinking inside their car. I don't know what they were saying, but I probably couldn't repeat it. So I look up into the Lincoln, and you can barely see the head of a person, right? And I knew that there was somebody in the passenger seat as well. Well, long story short, we get to a point where we get to a two-lane now. We kind of break away. That Lincoln pulls to the side a little bit, and so I'm still in that same lane then. I ended up there where the Lincoln was. And as I'm passing, I look in. And it is a lady who's driving, late 80s, early 90s. She doesn't look super stressed. But in her passenger seat, I assume, was her husband. And he was kind of leaned back. You know, his mouth was open. He had a breathing tube, I could see. She clearly was taking him somewhere. And yet, what did people do? Patience. Now, 20 years ago, I might have been the person in the front of me who was honking on the horn and being like, are you kidding? Seriously? But it was something that I learned over time. James 1, verses 2 through 4, perfects and proves. That's the work of patience. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So ways God has designed patience in on us. Cranky Dear Kelly, it's Paul Harvey, rest of the story. People know who Paul Harvey is? You do. Rest of the story. So in my job, I interface with people all the time. And when I was a deputy in my job, I had customers. I still do, but I had customers. A lot of them. And I had seen them. They were repeat customers for me. And it mattered to me their care. It mattered to me that they felt like they got service. And so one day I get a call from this lady who was a daycare owner, and she lit me up. She was angry. She cursed at me. It was horrible, actually, and it was odd because I had known her for several years. And it was odd. This is very strange, very out of place. I could not slake her anger, and so she hung up on me. And it was odd. It bothered me. To the point where I decided that I was going to go to her daycare and just talk to her. And so I did. I got to the daycare, and
there was one of her helpers downstairs, and she said, oh, yeah, she's upstairs. And so I walked upstairs, and I come up the stairs, and I turn the corner, and there she is. And she spies me. I'm looking at her, and she had this huge cast all the way up to her hip. And she was hobbling around on that. There were tons of little kids just kind of cruising in and out. You know, she's trying to manage them while hobbling around with this leg cast. And she looks at me, and she immediately starts crying. And so I said, you know, Karen, what's wrong? Okay, Paul Harvey rest of the story. So she recently had gotten hit by a car, like literally hit by a car. She was walking across the street, car hit her, and then, like 2 weeks later after that, her mom dies. So she was dealing with all of that, trying to keep her business running. She had people calling in sick, parents who were angry, and she just had enough. That was the Paul Harvey rest of the story. Maybe 20 years ago, I'd be like, you can't talk to me like that. That's just mean. That's rude. I might give you a piece of my mind. I didn't. I just didn't. So through troubles, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Had I not paid attention to understanding what patience was, my response to her might have been a little bit different. If I wouldn't have paid attention and taken advantage of wanting to understand the Paul Harvey rest of the story, that relationship would be very different. Other ways. Jacob and Rachel. No, Leah. Wait, where's Rachel? You remember that story? Right? So, if you haven't read that story, you should read that story again. It's a love letter, and it is amazing. So here's Jacob. He falls in love with Rachel. I'm going to really summarize this. He falls in love with Rachel. Laban says, okay, you work for me for 7 years. She's yours. Mm-hmm. Okay. Deal. I will do that. And he did. 7 years. On that day, you know, 7 years, time to get married. Traditional Hebrew wedding. You know, the bride is all covered up. And they get married. And they go away for their honeymoon. And the next morning, it ain't Rachel. It's Leah. And, of course, Jacob was furious. So what have you done? What have you... Well, Laban says, you know, it's traditional that the eldest daughter should be married first. So there you go. But what I will do, if you work 7 more years, then Rachel. He waited. And it really chapped him. I'm sure it would have made me pretty upset too, but... What an exercise in patience. Now, we don't know. We can speculate what that first 7 years must have been like. And, you know, I don't know. Did they date? Did you get a date? I don't know. What I do know is that not after year one did he went, you know what, I'm out. This isn't working for me. 7 years is a really long time. I'd like to be married right now. But he endured that. Could we? Could you? Could I? So, God designs patience in us and on us with lots of time, an awful lot of time. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. Other ways, through constant testing. When's the last time that you've been really, really tested? Maybe this morning. Maybe just yesterday. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Constant testing. Are you ever tired of being tested by God? I hope the answer is yes sometimes. We get tired. It's hard. But we are being tested. And by way of that testing,
then you prepare yourself for the Paul Harvey rest of the story. Did you know that? Did you know that? It is your proving ground. It's horrible. It's not fun in the moment. But I don't think it was fun in the moment for Jesus either.
As you know, Jesus came to this earth and was exactly as we are. That's what we are told. In doing and preparing for this lesson, I often wondered, and again, it's purely speculative on my part, but I often wondered, but Jesus and his apostles, and we know because we read about it, that they failed sometimes miserably, and it took them like forever to figure stuff out. Did Jesus ever get to the point where it was like, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me? He had every opportunity and every right really to ridicule, to really kind of make fun of, but did he do that? He didn't. Would have you? Would have I? Would have we have gotten impatient with the apostles? I think I would. They probably would have gotten impatient with me as well and really showed it. But Jesus did not. And yet he was exactly like we are.
That's impressive to me. And I often wonder, okay, could I really, really do that?
Well, Jesus did. And he was us. So I think the answer is yes. Let's look at some examples of patience and impatience. So let's look at patience first. Just a couple of examples. We count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Is Job the first person that you think of when you hear the word patient? Typically for us Christians, it is. And I mean, and then I read that story of Jacob and Rachel, and I was like, But Job suffered mightily. And so we do have examples of how did Job do it? Why did Job do it? I think those were questions that both his wife and his friends asked him. And yet, somehow, some way he did. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he, being Abraham, obtained the promise. We know that Abraham waited. His wife, maybe a little more impatient, but nonetheless, Abraham did. And it wasn't like a couple of weeks. It wasn't like, you know, for tennis elbow, a couple of months or even a year. He waited many, many years. Could you? Could I? All good questions. Important questions. How about impatience? So now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled around about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us, as this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. They knew that he was going up to see God. They knew who God was. And yet, you can just kind of see him down there. It's like, I don't think he's coming. You guys think he's... I don't think he's coming. Aaron, we need a God right now. Right now. And that's almost what it feels like in that sense. Just impatient. Super impatient. How about Mary and Martha? Mostly Martha. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I mean, what's the tone in his voice when he says it? He said it to her before.
It's like, Jesus, if you'd only been here, you know, we would have been saved. And do you believe that? And she said, yes, I believe. Fast forward, boom, we have this. She asks the question again. And then he looks at her and says, didn't I tell you that? Didn't you say? Right? Impatient. Impatience.
So here's some areas that need a lot of patience. Tribulation. We go through that. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you plainly endure it, or you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. All right, so the first part of that. So you sin, and then you're harshly treated, and you endure it with patience. Okay. If I sin, I might be harshly treated. It's like a blinding flash of the obvious. Right? Does that make me virtuous? Maybe. With some. But if you do what is right, we're doing what is right. Right? If you are being a Christian, and you are showing yourself as a Christian, and you come under persecution to that, heavily, and you still do what is right. 25 people over here that you work with, right? They think that you are awesome, they want you to be part of the group. They start doing stuff that you don't agree with. What do? So, God, I'm doing this once. Or do you stand over here and be that shining light that God wants you to? You do what is right. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Tribulations. Delays. Remember, we talked about delays being something that causes you to be really impatient. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, he repeats it again. Wait for the Lord. Wait. Remember, we want now, right now. And we've trained ourselves to do that. By technology, we've trained ourselves to do that. By forgetting what it means to be truly patient, we have done that. We've learned how to be impatient when we should be learning how to be patient. Battles. How many battles do you go through on a daily basis? And it's not just battles with people, but other types of battles. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Our battles. I think sometimes we create way more battles than we need to. Would you agree? It's like, why did I do that? I just created a battle that I don't have an army for. Why did I do that? It's because we taught ourselves. We practice. And it stems from being impatient. Or just plain out and give it up. I'm done. I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I've waited long enough. We're done here. Right? The other day I was in a store, Safeway, and it was busy. And they only had one checker. I don't know why. Didn't really care. But so there's probably 8 or 9 of us in line. And usually at Safeway, when there's a line like that, you'll hear, 3's a crowd. And then somebody else will pop out of nowhere and come up and help check. Well, nobody said that. And so there's a dude in the back of me, a customer, and you can tell that he's getting angry because I can hear this. And finally I hear this, hey, 3's a crowd. He just yells it in the store. You know, people are like looking around and looking around. Well, apparently they had people call in sick or something because there was nobody that came to the front. And you know what he did? He pushed his cart off to the side and he left. He just left because he couldn't wait. Chose not to wait. Impatient. Not happy. Sad, really. Adding patience to your attitude. It's kind of what we need to do. But it's the hardest thing that we do. Because again, we've taught ourselves how to be impatient. Think about it that way. You have taught yourself how to be impatient. And you tacitly approve it every time that you do. But you know what? You, me, we have utter control of that. Utter control. If we just want to. Which the premise would say then, okay, if I'm not, does that mean that I don't want to? Well, sometimes I get really stubborn. And maybe it's because I don't want to. If I'm being honest, right? So, you have four daughters? You gotta be kidding. I am so sorry. I cannot tell you how many times I heard that. And so, why did I put this picture up there? Because it's not about demonstrating or talking about the patience that I had to have with four daughters. No, it's the patience that I needed to have because of the stupid and annoying people asking me that. It literally got to a point where it was so annoying. And it made me kind of angry when people would just ascribe the fact that I have four beautiful daughters, that it'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. About what? And that would be what? About what? Why are you sorry? For what? And so it was about me being patient with them. Maybe they had bad experiences. I don't know. Maybe they just ascribe to what people automatically conclude, that if you have four daughters, it's like, okay, well, what if you had four boys? Is it the same? I don't know, because I don't. But I know people who do. Right? And I think it all depends on you as the parent and many other things. That's for me. That's for me to be patient with them and not to automatically get on the defensive. And there was a time when I did. I mean, I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but there was a time when I did. And I would call people out for it. Why would I do that? I know what I felt. I know what my daughters did for me as a father. I don't need to justify that to anybody. And yet, I did. Felt like I had to. Okay, now, I will say that this slide has nothing to do with the previous slide. Nothing, right? I thought about that when I was going through it. It's like, oh, wow. Why is God allowing this pain and suffering? It is not at all related to the previous slide. What it is saying, though, is we ask ourselves that question from time to time. Why? Why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to endure this? And God knows that so many of you have been through things that have been torturous and painful and horrible. We all have. And we do. We are faithful people. But we do get to a point where we ask ourselves, why? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why are you letting this happen? Why don't you love me? If we are honest with each other, we ask those questions. And maybe when we were younger and immature, we asked them a lot more than we do now as we are older and more mature. Because we understand that relationship with our God better. We want to let God develop it in us, patient. Sometimes that means trials. We want to allow God to put us through hard times. That's a hard thing to give into. I mean, when you pray to God, do you pray to Him and say, God, when you say your will be done, do you really mean it? And do you get really specific on what that means? And are you willing to open yourself up enough to God to allow that to happen, whatever that might be? Sometimes the answer for me is no, I'm not ready for that. And yet I still pray it. But I pray it with a, oh, please don't let that be the answer. That's not the way that I should do that at all. We need to learn to pray through trials. We do. We totally do. I know we do. We do it together. We do it individually. But we need to learn to pray. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. come what may, God, your will be done. Help me through this in the best way that you know how. Work patiently, for you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Paul. Does not Paul come to mind when you hear work patiently? Paul endured and he worked hard. And he worked patiently. How do we do that? So thank God for everything, and everything gives thanks, for this is God's will in you in Christ Jesus. When you are having the worst day on the face of this planet that you've ever had, do you thank God for that? Seems contrary and weird. Why would I do that? It makes no sense to me. But maybe it makes sense to God. Maybe there is a reason for your trial and tribulation that day. Maybe it is the strength in you in one aspect of your life that you're lacking. Maybe. If you think about it in those terms and in that way, it opens up your mind in such a way. And it frees you to really, really, truly have faith and belief in your God as you proclaim, as we all proclaim. Picture my wife. I thank God for everything that has to do with my family. I am so thankful for that. Incredibly thankful for that. Had I not waited, had I not done what I did, be where I was, God put us together. And I am so thankful for that. Beyond anything that words can even say, I am thankful. Desire the crown. For us as Christians, there is a reward, as we are patient. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's amazing, isn't it? You will be approved if you are patient. And you last, you endure. You will see God. Period. There's no question in a Christian's mind that that will happen. It seems like a long time from now. But it's no doubt that that will happen from a spiritual, heavenly perspective. From an earthly perspective, what does patience do for us? We need something right now, for sure. And so this is what patience does for us. Did you know this? It renews our strength. It prepares us for another race. It teaches us to trust God, and it shows the world that you are a strong Christian. When you can master patience, this is what it does. That's why the Lincoln Town Car, that's why I could drive and not be the one freaking out the window. That's why I knew that there was probably a Paul Harvey rest of the story. That's why when I'm standing in line and I hear the person behind me snorting like a bull, it doesn't matter. It is so interesting that as we were giving these topics, that patience was given to me. This is my topic. It's my topic because it was so appropriate to me. Building a new hospital for 2 years. For 2 years. I worked 60, 70 hours a week for 2 years helping build Riverbend Hospital. It killed me. It was the hardest thing that I ever did, ever. It took a toll. It was burdensome beyond all reason. And it was hard on my family. But I made it. I made it through. I persevered. I complained a little bit while I was there, for sure. But I made it through that. And I look back at that and I think, okay, what did I learn from that? Maybe I didn't, you know, sit down and write it on a piece of paper, but I learned something from it. And you know what it did? It prepared me for what I'm doing now, which is there are 6 people who report to me. And if you think that you know how to do that, and you've not done it before, you might be in for a rude awakening. It's challenging. But because of all of that back here, you know, that renew my strength, it prepared me for another race. It allowed me to trust deeply in God. And it also shows those around me what it is to be a Christian. That's what that did. I had to learn to be patient. How? When to be patient. Recognize when to be patient. I had to trust and I had to obey God because God tells us to be patient. But I had to learn how to do that. Or I had to unlearn impatience. I mean, I kind of think that when we're born, we are born incredibly impatient because, you know, when a baby is born, you know, it doesn't cry, it screams. It cries loudly. I don't know if that's being impatient or something else. I think it's something else. But we're not born patient people to a certain extent. And if you look at the psychology of that, it's interesting. But what we do is that we learn how to be impatient. So if we can learn how to be impatient, we can learn to be patient. And if we have that biblical base, God's base, we will be successful. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning indeed, more than for the watchman of the morning. God has a perfect plan and a purpose in making us wait. It is called patience. It is valuable and precious to us. It is a fruit of the Spirit. But there is something that you can have today that you don't have to wait for, and that is God's forgiveness. And so if you are here today and you are understanding this lesson in terms of patience, and you are understanding that God gave much for you, then why would you wait? There is no need to wait. God does not expect any of us to be absolute perfection in knowing everything that there is to know in God's Word. We don't have to wait until you master. We don't. That's not what He expects us to do. It really is simple. God had a plan from the very beginning. It involved His Son. It involved His Son coming to this earth and living as we did. Suffering, experiencing, spreading the word, showing who God was, is. And then ultimately, dying for our sins. That's what He did. And that is yours. And today, you can be a partaker in that through baptism, confessing of your sins, and having your sins being washed away through baptism. Consider it carefully and don't wait. Let us stand and sing as we go to our God.